Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello and welcome to swissinfo.ch's programme for May the 15th. I'm Thomas Stevens.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, top.
That was the launch of the Herschel Space Telescope, which took off from French Guiana on May the 14th. Swiss aerospace company Oerlikon was a leading contributor to the European project. Herschel and its sister telescope Planck, which are being sent 1.5 million kilometres from Earth in order to study what happened after the Big Bang, are the most expensive pieces of equipment ever launched by Europe, at a total estimated cost of 1.9 billion euros. Arnold Benz, a professor of astronomy at the Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, was at the launch, and he told swissinfo.ch it was like opening a new window, looking at a colour that has never been observed. He explained what scientists hope to learn from the telescope.
It will tell us several things, because there are three experiments hooked to this mirror. So three experiments do get the light collected by this huge mirror, and to make it short, it is basically the early phase of star formation we are going to explore, planet formation, and galaxy formation.
Also this week, Switzerland said it was no longer advising people against travelling to Mexico and the United States because of swine flu. On May the 12th, the director of the Swiss Health Office said the new flu virus appeared to be mild, and that although the number of cases might increase, avoiding trips to Mexico would not prevent this happening. Switzerland, which has reported one confirmed case of swine flu to the World Health Organization, is one of only a few countries to have a method of testing for the virus. Laurent Kaiser and his team at the virology laboratory at Geneva University Hospital, which developed the test, told swissinfo.ch.
Oh, it was just crazy. Even if you have only a few cases, the problem is that the pressure of everyone is very important, and we have to be ready to provide reliable tests for the community. So this is a really important pressure. At the technical level, it's not a big deal, I would say, but still, we have to do it in 3 or 4 days instead of 3 or 4 weeks.
Finally, in last week's programme, we wished the Love Bugs good luck at the Eurovision Song Contest in Moscow. And a fat lot of good it did them. The Basel band were eliminated from the semi-final on May the 12th after their song, The Highest Heights, failed to win enough votes and fell to the deepest depths of pop culture. Switzerland has had a disastrous record at Eurovision for several years. The country most recently won in 1988, when it was represented by a young Canadian girl called Celine Dion. The Love Bugs are a solid indie synth-pop band, and The Highest Heights was a respectable song, but next to young Swedes with long blonde hair and Turks with short red skirts, a group of black-wearing 35-year-old men with a slightly downbeat sound never had a chance. Here's a snippet of what you won't be hearing at the final on May the 16th. The Highest Heights by the Love Bugs. And now it's your chance to have your say. For every story on swissinfo.ch, you can write in and leave your comments, either praising the insightful analysis and witty turns of phrase, or more often venting spleen at why the world is going to pot. Last week, Canton Obwalden in central Switzerland found itself on the defensive after announcing plans to grant building rights in prime locations only to millionaires. These rich ghettos were condemned by the political left as a form of financial apartheid. But the cantonal authorities hit back, saying the rich provide valuable income for everyone. Dominic in the United Arab Emirates left no doubt where he stood.
The bad attitude towards economic activity in Germany and other socialist wastelands drives people away as much as any high taxes. Obwalden shows the way to a positive future and lights the way for those with no future.
This view triggered an angry response from René Kuntz in the United States.
You are apparently one of the too many self-interested individuals consumed by personal financial well-being instead of looking at the impact on the environment. A recent visit to Switzerland revealed the devastating overbuilding on the once picturesque Swiss countryside, towns and cities.
On May the 11th, we revealed that the number of Swiss parents educating their children at home was rising. This generated a massive response from our readers, the vast majority of whom praised the benefits of homeschooling.
Bravo! Finally a balanced article on homeschooling in Switzerland. Almost everything else I've read on the subject has been praising the merits of state-controlled education,
said Nat from Switzerland.
School is not the best form of socialisation. When in normal life are you crowded into a room with 30 people your own age?
Asked Paul in Britain. Nick in Switzerland was equally anti-school.
The only justifications for keeping the school system are for the indoctrination of children by the state, or for the interests of keeping thousands of teachers in employment.
Is there anything you want to get off your chest? Let us and all our readers and listeners know. Now a look at this week's lighter news. When Roger Federer announced at the end of March that he and his soon-to-be wife Mirka were expecting their first child, my immediate thought was obviously making a few francs by correctly predicting the date of birth. British bookmakers, aware of the public's gambling habits, are now offering odds of 100 to 1 if Federer Jr. arrives on July the 5th, the day of the Wimbledon final. Bets on the sex and name of the child are old news. Bookies are now laying odds of the 13-time Grand Slam winner producing his own little tennis champion. A spokesman for Ladbrokes in London struggled to get excited. We've been smashed so many times by Federer Sr. that the thought of a tennis dynasty is already giving us sleepless nights, he said. Odds on twins stand at 50 to 1. Federer might not be winning much nowadays, but last weekend a Swiss was crowned the world's best tightrope walker. At the World Championships in the South Korean capital Seoul, Freddie Knock scuttled across a 1-kilometre-long rope suspended 30 metres above a river in just 10 minutes and 17 seconds. Knock was the only competitor to complete the act without using a balancing pole or a safety net. During the competition, he also rescued two other participants who'd got stuck. Now it's time for Out and About, where roving SwissInfo.ch journalists report from the far corners of Switzerland. Time is money, speed is of the essence. These are both phrases that might well sum up 21st century lifestyles. Do we need time pressure to keep us going, or are we pushing ourselves to the point of collapse? The non-stop exhibition at the Stapferhaus in Lenzburg is hoping to provide some answers. Isabel Leibold Johnson has been along to find out more.
Time. We never seem to have enough of it. We are, says the non-stop exhibition, under constant time pressure. Here's Beat Hechler, co-director of the Stapferhaus.
We live in a high-speed society, and acceleration in everyday life is quite obvious. And it's part of this experience that we have no time really to reflect about that. We just react. We are in action.
Our lives have become a lot faster, it is revealed. The Swiss Post now gets through up to 40,000 letters per hour using machines, compared with 1,500 per hour by hand. And the Swiss Stock Exchange makes around 3,000 transactions per second. It was just 45 per second in 1996. Speed, say businesses, is what keeps the economy competitive in a globalised world. But there are still fears that we are too slow compared with countries like China. Time-saving devices have had a great impact on our personal lives. Ready meals and household appliances have given us more free time. But some innovations, such as the mobile phone, are putting us under time stress. Not forgetting computers, emails and BlackBerries. This taste of modern life was specially composed for the display by the German sound artist Peter Kiefer.
We try to make a space where we really could experience this kind of acceleration which is generated by this non-stop ongoing time we experience in the society. And it's quite nice if you close your eyes and you just hear this space like an immersive experience. The sound is traveling around your head and so on. And most of the people now coming out, it's really powerful.
But is it all too much? Some experts quoted in the exhibition think so, and warn that we are all facing collapse. Others say that stress actually does us some good, so long as we take some time out. Something which we can all do when we're visiting the exhibition, says Hechler.
The most important thing is that we have almost 2 hours or 3 hours in this exhibition just to think about your own speed, and is it really freely chosen, or is it just that you are forced to be so quick? I think that's like a time out.
For this reason, visitors are encouraged to leave their mobile phones and watches in special lockers when they enter. For once, says Hechler, our lives should not be dictated by time.
We try to seduce the people to forget time and to spend here a lot of hours, and they miss all the trains they wanted to choose.
Beat Hechler, ending that report by Isabel Leibold-Johnson. Time never seems to go fast enough whenever I listen to Swiss folk music, but that's thanks largely to the popularity on television of an appalling subgenre called Schlager, in which singers with forced grins mime inane lyrics to instantly forgettable three-chord melodies. However, the album Rösligarte, Neue Schweizer Volksmusik, is a compilation of what's called new Swiss folk music, in which modern bands either reinterpret or are inspired by Swiss music from the 19th century. To play it out, here's a track from the album, which can be heard at swissmusic.swissinfo.ch, called Der Großartig, played by the Alte Buebe. Thanks for listening. Read more about these stories and other Swiss news and views at swissinfo.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens.